And welcome back to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for August 1999. Now, here's Phil Wayne.
Hi, DXers and radio buffs. Welcome to MarketScope for August 1999. This is the audio column that profiles every station in radio markets anywhere on the planet, as submitted by DX Audio Service members. This month, Paul Burkhart of Watertown, Massachusetts, starts us off with a look at Boston. Paul?
Hello, DX Audio Service subscribers. This is Paul Burkhart from Watertown, Massachusetts, on the 14th of March, and I'm going to give you a market scope from Boston. FM radio first, and then AM radio. This is being recorded on a Panasonic RX-FS-470 single cassette boombox with a built-in condenser microphone. What I'm going to do is my first market scope ever, I will try to give you as much variety on from Boston radio as I can, from one end of the dial to the other. Why don't we start with WMBR at 88.1 FM in Cambridge, a community service of MIT. WMBR, by the way, has been known to play all different types of music for 2-hour blocks a day, ranging from reggae to oldies to soul to hard rock to classical to country music. You name it, they have it.
Look at that brown sugar doing, boy.
You've been tuned to WMBR 88.1, Cambridge.
Yeah, man. I know you like the brown sugar.
The next station up from 88.1, we find 88.9, which is WERS from Emerson College in Boston. WERS plays, again, all types of music. I don't know all the program that they have, so I'm just giving you a representative sample from each station, just to give you an idea of what Boston radio sounds like. Now we progress up the dial to 89.7 megacycles, which is WGBH, the educational station in Boston, transmitting from Big Blue Hill in Milton, Mass.
Plus you only 10 cents a minute, anytime, anywhere. Plus you get 20 free hours of calling a month.
Sounds great. Sign me up.
Thank you. And thank you for choosing AT&T.
You're welcome. Hello?
Hi, this is Janice calling from Sprint. We've noticed you've recently switched long-distance carriers.
Wow, that was like 5 seconds ago. How did you know that?
We're tapping your phones. We'd like to get you to switch back to Sprint. We'll give you 50 free hours of calling each month, plus a cashback bonus of $300.
Gee, well, I guess I'll switch back then.
Thank you, and thank you for choosing Sprint.
Sure.
Hello?
Hi, Mr. Carlisle. This is Patrick from MCI. It's come to our attention that you've recently switched long-distance carriers.
That's amazing. How did you know that?
I'm standing right behind you.
What? Get the hell out of here!
Sorry about that. So, how about changing over to MCI?
Listen, I really don't... Oh, I have another call. Can you hold on a second?
Make it quick.
Yeah, hold on. Hello?
Hi, this is Robert from AT&T again. We've noticed you recently changed your long-distance service. I thought we were friends.
Not yet.
What?
I haven't switched yet. I've got the guy on the other line. Can you hold on?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, one sec. Sorry, you were saying?
Right. So, if you switch to MCI, we'll give you 3 free years of long distance. Plus, our executive sales manager will let you take out his daughter.
Okay, so much for WGBH. You never know what they're going to have on here. Now, the next station is WZBC from Boston College in Newton at 90.3 on the FM dial. WZBC apparently right now is doing classical music. So we'll just give you about 30 seconds or so of ZBC, and then we'll continue on. Our next station up the dial is WBUR, Boston University Radio, at 90.9 FM.
So it wouldn't happen. It's sort of what happens when you're forgetting about yourself.
At 91.5, there is a station that doesn't come in too well in this particular location in Watertown, but it's WMFO, owned by Tufts University in Medford, Massachusetts. It's one of the few stations at 91.5 in this area, but this is WMFO coming up. We go up to 91.9, which is WUMB, UMass Boston. As you can hear, WUMB is playing country music. They must be playing old-time country music or something. So back to UMB for a couple of seconds.
Thanks, Paul. That wraps up our abbreviated market scope for this month. Paul will be back again next month as we continue up the dial. Now dressed in his Red Baron outfit, we join Fred Vobey at DX Audio Service Air Traffic Control.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to listen to radio stations high above the state in an airplane? Well, DX Audio Service member Paul Smith has had that opportunity. Let's go to Paul right now.
This is Paul Smith, and I am reporting to you right now from about 4,000 feet in the air over Central Florida. We're about 25 miles east of Sarasota, Florida right at the moment. And anyway, what I'd like to do at this point is give you a little bit of a band scan from Central Florida with a little different perspective. Today's band scan is going to be conducted from the cockpit of a Cessna 182 airplane, and we're using the automatic direction finder radio that is built into the panel of this airplane and for the receiver. This particular radio is a Bendix King model, and it's a AR-87, and it uses two antennas. It uses a sense and a loop antenna, and it has a indicator that points to the direction that the station is coming from. So with that in mind, we will start our band scan at 540. And with 540, we'll be getting the Winds radio station, sports station out of Orlando. And here's the first one.
Ball hit in the air to left center field, way back, going, going. There's number 23, gone, goodbye. Well up into the bleachers and bouncing back behind the bleachers in left center field. Jose can't take
okay,
off.
The next one's going to be 560, 560 out of Miami, WQAM. And as you can tell, there's also another station beating in there with it, but the WQAM out of Miami is the predominant station. Next will be 540, 570 out of Pinellas Park, Florida, or the St. Petersburg Clearwater area.
that he is actually guilty. I mean, it's a he said, she said situation, but there were plenty of witnesses that she had after the rape that indicated that he was alone in the room with her, and then afterwards she was...
All right, next station will be 590. I'm sorry, 580. 580 out of Orlando, WDBO.
Film of nature and stuff. Enjoy ourselves. And here comes a 25-year-old idiot. Drunken idiot falls out of his boat. Starts cussing like a sailor.
Okay, next will be 590. 590. We'll be out of Cuba. That music you hear is coming directly from Fidel Land. And today it's playing some jazz. During the week, a lot of times they play classical music. And this station is in Sequam stereo. And it is armchair copy, even from my home, QTH. And central Cuba, where this comes from, is about 350 miles from here, due to the sound. So as you can tell, it's a very, very, very powerful station. Next will be 610. Okay, we're not getting 610 today. Normally we get that. That's WIOD. There it is. Okay, we're getting some slop from 620, so we're not receiving it very well today. We'll go on to the next one.
Have you ever?
Okay, what you're hearing now is 620. This is the former WSUN. And this particular station now relays a cable television channel out of the Tampa, St. Petersburg area. The next one we'll receive will be 640.
Del carril 2 de la ley Torricelli cerraron los debates del balance partidista en el municipio Cerro de Ciudad de La Habana.
640 again originates in Cuba. Then we should have 670. 670, another Cuban station. Okay, then we'll have 680 out of Tampa, St. Petersburg. Okay, 690, not much there. The next station with something on it will be 720. 720 is out of Brooksville, Florida. Brooksville, Florida is, according to my location right now, is about 140 miles from here. 7:30, we should be able to pick up Lake Placid. There's Lake Placid in there.
Regulations and red tape.
7:40 out of Orlando. That's a 50,000 watt station.
Would create a Big Brother database containing personal information on millions of Americans who have never committed any crime.
Then the next one we'll have will be 7:60. 7:60 is a Spanish language station out of Tampa. It's owned by La Mega Communications. Then at 7:70 we'll have Fort Myers. Not doing well today. Then we have 7:90. Is emanating from the Miami area. 820. 820 is another station owned by La Mega Communications. It is a Spanish language station in the Largo area, or Tampa, St. Petersburg, for those that don't know the area.
And highs once
the next station here is 860. 860 is out of the Tampa, St. Petersburg area, WGUL.
5 inches of mercury. Winds are out of the southeast at 6 miles an hour, and the humidity is 57%. Tampa checks in with 87 degrees. It's 86 in St. Petersburg and Clearwater. Also 86 in Sarasota-Bradenton, 85 degrees in Brooksville. It's 84 in Ocala at this hour, 87 degrees in Newport Richey. And right here at your WGUL studios in Palm Harbor, it's a sunny and warm 86 degrees. It's 12:31. I'm Stu Hilder. Now let's go.
Hey, next we have 870. 870 is WL out of New Orleans. It's not very good copy today. We have 880. Coming from the Miami area. 910. 910 comes from Plant City, Florida. This is the new WSUN on 910. And as you can tell, it is not putting, we're only about 20, 30 miles away from the station, but we're getting a very, very poor signal. We have 930 is from Sarasota. We have 940 from Lake Placid, Florida.
That's 3 months of better sleep for your secondary meaning of this word in Scripture. Is that which refers to personal righteousness and purity.
And I'm going to be honest with you, this is the first time I've heard English on 950, so I'm not sure where this one is coming from today. Normally 950 is Cuba. We're getting some type of religious sermon there, so I'm not sure where that's coming from. I'll try and find that out for you. 960. Nothing much there. 970 is WFLA out of Tampa.
So, what's up with you and Marcia?
She's gone, that's what's up.
So we have 990 out of Orlando. Another 50,000 watt voice. However, we are on the backside of their pattern, and it is not getting good reception here.
Somewhere along the way, the guy that gets a few more advantage on the red.
Then we have 1010. 1010 is out of Tampa. Another 50,000 watt voice.
Goody's body pain for me. Every time I pick up my two youngest grandkids, my back is my...
We have 1020. Another Cuban station. Then we have 1040. 1040 is fighting each other. This is an interesting situation. We're getting about 50-50 here of the West Palm Beach station on 1040 and the Pinellas Park station on 1040. However, we are closer to Pinellas Park. So they are fighting each other here. And then we have 1050. Okay, and that station's coming from Sebring, Florida. This station used to be on 960, but when WFLA went to 25,000 watts, they had to move from 960 to 1050 on the dial. Anyway, that just about does it for this particular one. We're halfway through. Next month, we'll continue with our band scan right through the end of the dial. But I would like to leave you with one thing. As we leave here, I would like to leave you with something to ponder. Now, one of the things that we use aircraft radios for is, of course, is navigation. And the station that you are hearing in the background now is a navigation station in Tampa. And if you listen to that Morse code, I think the Morse code will tell you the call sign of a particular station that's probably very near and dear to us. Just its call sign alone gives away our hobby. And this station is a low-frequency station using the same radio. It's on 388 kilohertz. It's 1,000 watts, and it is heard. Anybody regularly listens to low-frequency radio can hear this station, especially in the wintertime, all across the United States and even parts of the world. So with that, I'll bid you adieu till next month, and we'll pick up the band scan again. This is Paul Smith reporting to you from 4,000 feet in Central Florida.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors. Members may muse by calling the Action Line at 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day.
This is Tim Hendel, sitting outdoors on a beautiful night, and this June 28th is my first logging of 1660 from Marco Island, Florida. They're playing oldies and giving a dual ID of 1480 WODX and 1660 WMIV.
Hello, DXers everywhere. This is TJ the DJ from Sycamore, Illinois. Hey, I used to live in the Vancouver, Washington area back in the late 60s and early 70s. Can anyone tell me what happened to these stations? KISN at 910 in Vancouver, Washington. They serve Portland. KGAR, 1550, Vancouver, Washington. KPAM, 1410 in Portland, Oregon. And KJR, Seattle. What's going on with them? I also would like to thank Kananis Chuck for his great sports segment. Not only for that, but he also lets me know what's happening with Chicago radio, or if there are any format changes or call letter changes. I wouldn't know this unless I'd hear it from him. So, hey, thank you a lot. As far as 820 Radio, they're simulcasting now with AM 930, WIPA, AM 820 is now simulcasting with WAUR, AM 930. They call themselves Catholic Family Radio.
Hello, DXers. This is Lucille Burkhardt from Watertown, Massachusetts. Fred, you were mentioning on this issue of the DX audio service that the stations do not mention the city of license. I think if anybody has any qualms about that, what they might want to do is get in touch with the FCC as they regulate what goes on in radio. And also, it seems to me that the IDs are not clearly identified on the top of each hour, and I think that's very, very important that they use a lot more IDs. And we're wondering why they are referring to just slogans, and that does not help particularly a totally blind person who was wondering what the station may be, since they're not able to see the digital dial. I think that's a very good point that should be brought up to the FCC.
This is Paul Burkhardt, Watertown, Massachusetts, on July 2nd. Talking about the tendency for radio stations not to identify themselves clearly enough on the half hour, as an example, WTTM 1680 in Trenton, New Jersey. I was listening to that station about a month ago in Chatham on Cape Cod. They always refer to themselves as Sports Radio 1680, but I could not hear the ID very well. Now, even on this DX audio service, they mentioned it, but it was so darn fast, you couldn't hear the ID very well. So I would like to find out why these stations, such as Sports Radio 1680, doesn't enunciate their ID, don't give their ID just as much of a clear speed, as slow a speed as they do when they say Sports Radio 1680. And this proves to other stations. This applies to other stations. There's too much emphasis on slogans and not enough emphasis on the call letters and the city of license.
Hello, Fred and DX members. This is the one and only Victor. Today is July 2nd. I'm responding to Tim Handel. You're absolutely right. Stations are not giving IDs, if any. It's even worse on TV. We are in the middle of an e-skip season, and last Saturday I got stations in South Dakota, Minnesota, and Nebraska. If it weren't for the commercials giving the cities, I would have never known what I was getting. It's just as bad on FM. Fred, what's going on?
Greetings, audio service members. Marty Rimpa here on July 3rd. Well, it looks like we've lost a solid gold soul affiliate, 1640 KDIA. When I checked yesterday, was Family Catholic Radio.
This is Tim Hendel. In Bruce Conti's excellent scan of the X-band, he asked us to send a sample of what the expanded band sounded like at our location. Well, interestingly enough, here in North Alabama, the X-band at night is almost exactly the same as it is in New Hampshire, with almost the same stations. So much so that I don't think it's worthwhile for me to send up an example of it. There are no X-band stations audible here during the daytime.
Hi, Fred and the X Audio Service members. This is Debbie called back from Des Moines. This really has nothing to do with dancing, but it has to do with our tapes and stuff. My box was rather mangled this month, and I was talking to people who are missing tapes here in Iowa. The post office suggests, not necessarily from the DX Audio Service, just tapes in general, post office suggests putting address labels on your actual tape. Thank you, everybody, and good DX.
Hi there, DX Audio Service members. Mike Dukin calling on Tuesday morning, July the 5th, the 6th, and some notes from the Upper Midwest. First of all, in northern Wisconsin, a format and call letter change happened around the beginning of May when WMQA in Minocqua, Wisconsin, on 1570, split from their FM counterpart and changed their call letters to WLKD and calls themselves Lakeland Area Radio, and they are running Westwood One's Music of Your Life. In Minnesota, Duluth, Minnesota, KDDS AM on 1490, which was an off-again, on-and-again deal, is back on the air, and they recaptured their original call sign of KQDS at 94.9 FM, and they are simulcasting. And in central Minnesota, WVAL in Sauk Rapids, out serving the St. Cloud area, they're now on the air running traditional country music and CBS News.
Hello there, fellow DXers. This is Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario, reporting that on Friday, June 4th, our local radio station, CKPC 1380, 10,000-watt station, got a new transmitter going. And also recently, CKOC in Hamilton, 1150, 50,000 watts on the AM, had some transmission problems, but they decided just to replace the old tubes and keep their transmitter going. Also, I was listening to WGR in Buffalo, New York one morning, 550 this week, and they were giving sports, and something came over from the network, and I guess somebody was asleep at the board switch, and that network feed came right over them, and it really boggled some minds, and I don't know if somebody can get you an air check of that or not, but you might check on it.
And that's our musings to members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. On the ID situation, I've always looked at the station ID being to a radio station what your name is to you. And if you're afraid to give your name to someone because of something that you've done or something that you are ashamed of, well, I guess I can see why some radio stations don't want to give their legal ID. Having said that, I think that the Federal Communications Commission needs to rewrite the rule to perhaps even state that it must be said clearly and concisely, and leave out all the other jargon that goes along with it that normally complicates the station ID. And for God's sakes, please enforce the rules. And on the situation with the post office, the only thing I can say is in the 14 years that we've been doing the magazine, we've always put our return address on a label on the cassette. So if it does get lost in the mail or separated from the box, it should be able to be returned to us. Yet I've never, ever received a tape back that's been, quote, lost. Only damaged tapes that they've nailed within the first 200 miles of our facility here. I have to believe that somewhere in the United States there's a postal employee with a large quantity of tapes. And finally, if your tape does not arrive or it's received damaged in any way, don't tell another member. Don't tell a DX Audio Service editor. Tell the guy who's in charge of the magazine. That's me. If your tape is damaged in any way, send it back and we'll replace it within 48 hours. If your tape does not arrive and you are a subscriber of the DX Audio Service, you will be mailed out a new tape as long as you contact me here at the DX Audio Service.
What's on your mind? You have some comments to make?
Science!
Now, here's Fred Volby.
On this DX Audio Service Science segment, we take a look at the public inspection file. In these days of diminishing responsibility for many broadcasters, where more music is the emphasis over public service and legal operation, the public file is an area that the FCC seems to be placing some importance on enforcing. In this segment, we hear from Pam Harrison, chief of the FCC's Compliance and Information Bureau, Chuck Kelly, who is the chief of the FCC's Mass Media Enforcement Bureau, and Bill Green, who is a retired attorney from the law firm of Reed Smith Shell & McLean in Washington, D.C. First of all, Bill, what is the public file?
Public inspection file is a repository of the things that you have filed with the commission plus a number of reports that you're required to keep in it. The commission has over and over again in the last number of years repeated the function that the citizens, the listeners, play in the enforcement of FCC regulations. Well, the public inspection file is one of the ways in which a citizen can determine what it is that the station has done and what it is that it hasn't done. There are a number of requirements as to what has to be kept in it, and I have a handout out there that has Listowel, that as a service to mankind, I have worded it in layman's language. It has no supras and it has no infras. One thing that should be for sure, you should remember that the public inspection file should be called the public inspection file. There was a case the other day in Murfreesboro where the FCC inspector came in and wanted to look for the public inspection file, and the person who was there couldn't find it. The FCC wrote him a letter saying, "Where's your public inspection file?" And the report was, "Oh yes, we have a public inspection file, but we don't call it the public inspection file. We call it the FCC file. We had it there all the time, but the person there didn't know where it was." So make sure that your staff knows that this is a very important function of your relationship with the community. And while nowadays license renewal applications are filed every 8 years, and there isn't this very great rush of people looking at the public inspection file, put yourself in a situation where you operate a little standalone AM station, and you finally got J-Corps to buy it from you, and you file an application, and a person comes down to your station to look for a copy of the application and cannot find it. There you've been planning to close on the 15th and go down to Florida for the rest of your life. And there the FCC says, "We can't grant it to you on time because it's not in the public inspection file." And there goes Palm Beach. So, if you ask me what the importance of it is, it's a very important document. It's a very important function of the station. Now, I will tell you later on, maybe when Holly asked me these questions, about what you should do when a public inspection, when a person wants to come in and take a look at it.
But why don't you go ahead and talk about that?
You want me to talk about that?
Sure, go ahead. Someone walks into, I have a station, and someone walks into my station,
what do I do?
The station, and asks for the, what does the licensee have to do?
Well, first of all, this is a confluence of two rights, and of one right and of an obligation. You have the obligation to make the material available, and the visitor has the right to see it. So there's just no question of not wanting to show you, as cases have arisen because there's some information that they didn't want the station staff to know about. The person wants to look at it, show it to that person. And you know, the classic case, and to go back, is the Old Town and Country case, where It's a rainy day in a station down south, and a bearded man comes in all huddled up in a raincoat and wants to see the public inspection file. So what does the station do? They call the sheriff. And they hold the person there until the sheriff comes in and checks him out, and they want to know whether his car is properly tagged and so forth. That is not the right way to do it. When a person comes... When a person comes in and wants to take a look at that file, the answer is, here's a chair, there it is. Now, there has been a change in the FCC's approach as to how citizens ought to be treated on these things. Generally, the old line was, put it on the table and let that person look at it. Now, the commission expects you to help the person. If the person wants to take a look at your children's television report, show it to that person. Because this is your obligation, and it's a responsibility to the public. And don't forget, this is your face to the community. If a representative of the League of Women Voters comes in and is not treated properly, that person is going to make that fact known to the station's membership. And I don't care how many contests you've run, you've lost a very important segment of the community. So when a person comes in, make the person comfortable. Show the person where give a person an opportunity to sit down and look at it. And you got to remember that in compliance with the ADA, the Americans with Disability Act, you've got to make sure that the public file is made available to a person at a person where a person could be in a wheelchair. So you either will bring it down to that person, or nobody's going to ask you to rebuild the station just to accommodate them. But on the other hand, make sure that it's made available to a person who has no other way of getting up to where the file is.
Many people think that to look at the public file, they have to jump through a variety of hoops, including going to the station and fishing through file cabinets. What many people don't know is that they can request a copy of certain documents via telephone or fax.
The FCC has finally recognized there's such a thing as telephone. The rule used to be that the only way you could ask for a document is to not take a look at it. But life is too difficult nowadays, and with the availability of telephone and fax, you can request it. And the station has a responsibility of making it available to you. But there are two very important qualifications. If there's a cost of reproduction, the person requesting that material has the responsibility of paying for it, and the station has the right for the payment in advance. But don't go charging 75 cents a page. The better policy is, if it's not too bulky, make it on the house. It's cost you, it's a nickel and dime situation. But the idea is, the person who asks for the material pays for the document, but the station pays the postage.
But you might wonder where the file is physically located and where the main studio is located. So what is this location?
Well, the main studio, some of you remember, in the old days had to be located in the community of license. That is, if you were licensed to Oshkosh, fine city that it is, you'd have to have your public inspection file in the city, your studio in the city of license. Then they, in 1987, they moved it out to your city grade, or your primary area. But now, with a number of multiple-only stations owned by the same owner, and with the fact that transportation and roads technically have gotten better, although the FCC hasn't driven on the Beltway in Washington lately, the regulation has been changed that the main studio has to be with the principal signal area of any station in the community. Now, this is a very important aspect of it. That is, if you have an AM station, the parameters of the location of the station is the principal community signal of any station in any service, so that if a television station has a larger circle than you do, you can use the television station's area of coverage as the place where you can locate your studio. Now, just so there'd be no question about it, the principal studio for an AM station is your 5 MVM. For an FM station, is 3.14 MVM. And for a television station, it's city grade. So an AM station can use a television station city grade as the parameter where it can locate its studio.
So you locate your studio within the new rules. Where do I keep my public inspection file now?
Well, one minute, I just want to add another thing to it.
Okay.
In addition to this, there's a 25-mile limit. That is, you take the location of the reference point, which is something which the government publishes, and if that's not available, it's the main post office in your city. And you go out 25 linear miles, and you draw a circle around. You go to draw a circle around that. And that is where you can locate your studio, and that is where the public inspection file should be kept. A number of years ago, you may remember, the FCC required, until recently, in fact, that you could locate your public inspection file in the public library or some lawyer's office or what have you. That created a lot of problems because they didn't know how to treat people who would want to look at the file. There was a problem on keeping these things up to date. You filed your ownership report, and then you got to remember to send it down to the librarian. The librarian doesn't know where to keep it. Now, this has been made. It's a very salutary rule. It's to be kept at the studio because that's where the station is. That's where the public knows where it is. That's where they can look you up in the phone book. And this is where you keep your public inspection file, and you have absolute control. And I'd just like to add one thing. When you send out something to be duplicated, don't give the material to the person to duplicate it. You duplicate it. Never, never, absolutely never give up control of the document. You duplicate it and then send it to them.
If I can emphasize one point that Bill made, and just emphasize it for purposes of emphasis, is that when you're choosing this alternative location for your studio based on the fact that there's another broadcast station that has a larger service area, remember that you can only base it on another station that is licensed to the exact same community that you're licensed to. Another, to use a Washington, D.C. example, and I hope you'll excuse me for doing it, but that's where I know the area the best. If you were licensed to Fairfax, Virginia, and you might well think of yourself and might treat yourself for all means and purposes as a Washington, D.C. station. But for purposes of deciding, can you then locate your main studio within the principal service contour of Channel 9 in Washington, the answer would be maybe, but only if you know, if it happens to be, you know, within your principal service contour of the Fairfax station. In other words, you can't say, gee, we're in the same market. We didn't say same market. We say same city of license. So you've got to look for, you know, a location within the, you know, within the service contour of a of another station, either your station or another station, that's located in the exact same community. So, you can't just, and a lot of times communities are very close to one another and they just are licensed differently. And, you know, we might have a station licensed to Silver Spring, Maryland, which is literally contiguous to, you know, to Washington. But that station is licensed to Silver Spring, and therefore their options are limited to other stations licensed to Silver Spring, not to stations licensed to Washington, D.C.
And in case you don't know to what community or city you're licensed, it's the city that you name first in your station identification.
Hoping that you do station identification. And you're doing them and doing them right. Yeah. Yes, when you do your station ID, always.
It's the first.
The first city you're supposed to identify is your actual city of license. After that, you know, you want to throw in Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, you know, go ahead. You know,
if you want to identify your station as being located in Los Angeles and Chicago, you can do that, I think.
And what if the station moves its location?
Well, you have to notify the community. If it's within the area, you can do it now by letter. You had to do that in the past year to file an application, but you can now notify them by writing a letter to the FCC.
As long as you're within the confines of the rule.
The required parameter that we've discussed.
And just as a follow-up, you really want to make sure you let us know where you move to, because there's nothing more frustrating as a field agent to go to a station and it's not there. And when you do find where it is, you're not a happy camper when you walk in that door. So.
On our next segment, we'll take a technical look at a receiver that allows you to listen to the secondary audio program channel of a television station. That's on our next edition.
Abba Joe Chevalier on Chicago's 94.3 Sports Talk.
Hello again, everyone. Ken back here with some winter Arbitrons that have been released in recent months, and I thought you'd be interested in this, in the top 25 markets. And let's see, me get right into this. New York, Pop Adult, WLTW at 6.1, up a little. Number 1 AM was 1010, WINS at 4.1, up 6/10. Sports Radio, WFAN 660, was 18th at 2.4, down 4/10. In Los Angeles, Spanish-speaking, KSCA at 6, up 6.6, down 9/10, though. AM, number 1, KFI 640 at 3.6, down 3/10. And Sports Radio, XCTRA 690, failed to make the list. In Chicago here, Black Adult, WGCI-FM, 6.7, up 3/10. Number 1 AM at second place, WGN 720, 5.8, though down 8/10. Sports Radio 1160, WSCR, was 24th at 1.5. ESPN 1000, WMVP, got a poor 0.4%. Market 4, San Francisco, Oakland, number 1, 810, KGO, 6.4, at though down 9/10. Sports Radio 680 KNBR dropped a 10th. It's 3.3, though up a half a point. Number 5, Philadelphia. All News KYW is AM is king again. Holds on to the top spot there in listenership at 7.8, up 1.4. Sports Radio 610 WIP is 11th at 3.5, up 6/10. Number 6, Detroit, AM number 1, Pop Adult, WNIC-FM, 8.2, up 2/10. Number 1 AM is All News, 950, WWJ at 6, up 1.3, and passes up Powerhouse, WJR, 5.4, they dropped 1.4. Sports Radio, 1130, WDFN, was 19th at 1.4. 7th, Dallas-Fort Worth, Rhythm and Blues, KKDA-FM, tops at 6.4, up 4/10. Number 1 AM is 820, WBAP, voice of the NHL champion Stars, at 5.4. Sports Radio 1310, KTCK, was 18th at 2.1, though down 1.1. 8th, Boston, AM is king at 1030, WBZ, at 7.9, though down 8/10. Sports Radio WEEI 850 gets a 2.5, down 1.3. Washington, D.C. is 9th. Number 1, Howard University Radio, WHUR, 6.2, up 6/10. Number one AM is WMAL 4th. That's 4%, down 2/10. Sports Talk 980, WTEM was 19th at 1.7, up 0.4. 10th, Houston. Number one, Rhythm of Blues, KBXX, 7.7, up 9/10. Number one AM is 740, KTRH at 4.1, down 4/10. Sports Radio 610, KILT is 20th at 1.7. 11th, Miami, Rhythm and Blues, WEDR, 6.7, down 1.3. Number one AM and second on the list, Spanish 710, WAQI, 5.3, up 9/10. And Sports Radio 560, WQAM was 16th at 3.1. 12th, Atlanta, AM is king at 750, WSB gets an 8.9, though down 8/10, no sports radio there. 14th is Seattle, AM is king at 710, KIRO posted a 5.6, up 7/10. I enjoyed it on your bandscan, Mark Durenberger. Sports Radio 950, KJR got a 13th at 3.5, up 1.4. 15th, Phoenix. Country, KNIX-FM is tops at 6, up 3/10. Number 1, AM is 620, KTAR 6th at 5.2, up 7/10. Sports Radio KGME was 21st at 1.3, up 3/10. KMVP failed to get enough listeners. Thanks to Carl Dabelstein for all the changes. 16th, San Diego, Pop Adult, KYXY-FM was first at 5.6, number 1 AM, KSON, AM and FM simulcast at 5.5, down 7/10, and Sports Radio 690 XTRA was 18th at 2, down 6/10. 18th, Minneapolis, St. Paul, AM is king at 830, WCCO at 10.4, though down 3/10. Sports Radio 1130 KFAN was 13th at 2.3, down 4/10. 19th, St. Louis, AM remains king at 1120, KMOX at 11.1, steady after a 3% drop 6 months ago. Sports Radio 590, KFNS is 21st at 1.5. 20th, Baltimore, number one is Rhythm and Blues, WERQ-FM at 9.7. Number one, AM 1090, WBAL dropped to third at 5.8, steady after a 3.5% drop last time 6 months ago. No sports radio to speak of. 21st, Pittsburgh, AM remains king at 1020, KDKA 13.7, up 1.8, and Sports Radio WPTT is 17th at 1.3. 22nd, Tampa, St. Petersburg, Standards, WDUV at 8.9, up 0.4. Number 1 AM is 970, WFLA at 5.9, down 7/10. Sports Radio 820, WZTM was 20th at 1.1. 23rd, Denver, AM is king at 850, KOA at 7.5, up 4/10. Sports Radio 950, KKFN was 19th at 1.7. 24th, Cleveland, number 1 is Oldies, WMJI at 9, up 1.6. Number 1 AM is 850, WRMR at 5th place at 5.9, up 1. And Sports Radio 1220, WKNR at 16th at 1.8. 25th, Portland, Oregon. Number 1 is Top 40, KKRZ at 9.7, up 0.4. Number 1 AM is Mighty 1190, KEX, 4.5. That's 4th place at 5.1, up 0.5. And Sports Radio KFXX and KSLM at 1.8, up 6/10. And finally, last year's Convention City San Antonio. Number 1, KTFM, the Top 40 giant. We had a nice tour there. Got a 9.4, up 0.2. Also a nice tour at the number 1 AM, 860, plus 101 FM, KONO at 4th, 6.3, up 1. And the NBA champ Spurs on the Mighty 1200, WOAI, which I can hear sometimes, though with problems from my local around Chicago, WOAI, 14th at 3.4, up 7/10. Sports Radio 760 KTKR didn't show up. And hey, I'd like to have more time here, but Fred tells me I'm done. So hey, I'll see you in August with football. Take care, friends.
Thanks, Ken. And that does it for this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. We don't have time to run through convention information, so if you do need it, we'll have it on our next edition of the DX Audio Service. Or if you need it now, please contact me at the DX Audio Service for more information. That's it. That's all. There is no more. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. get out there and support radio. The WAKU.